Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
What's up, everybody? They call me Pastor T around these parts, and I'm the lead pastor of U-City, the church, and I have the privilege of being with you this Sunday. Mosaic, what is up? U-City is also joining us online. What is up, U-City? I love being with my family. You guys are family to me, and so, in light of that, I hope that you are spending time with your family now. Thank you for all of you who have served for our country. We honor you, and thank you for your service. We truly are thankful, and I hope you feel that. I really do. I hope you feel that. I'm going to pray for us, and then we are going to dive in. Father, you are good. You are kind, you are merciful, and we are so thankful that we get to gather, that we get to rest, and that we get to have fun. And we are so thankful that we get to engage with you and each other in this way. God, I'm so thankful that if this is the best message that I have ever preached, you do not love me more. If this is the most horrible message ever, you do not love me less. But you love me just the same. See, it's not contingent upon how well I do or how well I perform, but your love for me is a gift, Father. And you have a gift for all of us. Your love is a gift for all of us. We do not have to perform for your approval, but we just get to be your son and your daughter. Let that be true for all of us, that we don't have to impress you. We don't have to work just to gain your attention and love, but simply because we are your sons and daughter. I thank you for loving us, even if we have a hard time loving you. Your words and your words alone, Father, in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, speaking of son, I have an 8-year-old son. He is playing baseball right now. It's his first season playing baseball. I don't know a lot about baseball. I never really played baseball in my life, but I'm learning a lot through him, and I am really enjoying it. Well, one day we were leaving practice, and I asked Roman just to do something for me, but Roman ignored me. And so I'm driving, and he's sitting in the passenger seat, and I ask a second time, and he seemingly ignores me again. Well, he's 8 years old. We know how these things go. But apparently I just didn't know enough, or I didn't have the patience at the moment, and I snapped. I was so irritated, frustrated, and angry that he wasn't listening to me. I yelled at him, and I grabbed his arm, and Roman froze. And Roman looked at me with this sad face and said, and asked me, why did you do that? And I said, Roman, Daddy is angry. You're not listening to me. And Roman says, yes, but you didn't have to grab me or yell at me. And then he said this. He said that you have options. He said you have options. And I was like, oh my gosh, I clutched my pearls. An 8-year-old says that I have options of how to respond to him. And that, for a moment, took me back. Because now I'm driving with egg on my face. Like, oh, yeah, no, valid point. Valid point. I do have options. See, in relationships, we have options. Especially after you have been wrong, you have options of how you respond. Or if you have wronged someone, you have options of how you respond to that too. Man, the cross gave us the ability and the availability to have a right relationship with God. But what the cross also did is given us the opportunity and availability to have right relationship with each other. And that is called, my friends, reconciliation. God reconciled us back to himself. And reconciliation is a gift from God. But I wonder if we see it as a gift to each other. Let's look at this word, reconciliation, and the definition. It means this. It's bringing again into unity, harmony, or agreement what has been alienated. Bringing again into unity, harmony, agreement what has been alienated. This word reconciliation, it's used a lot, especially around Easter, right? Easter is a great celebration. We just celebrated Easter, and it should be celebrated. And I think a lot of us celebrate it through the lens of God reconciled us to himself, that he brought unity and harmony for me to him, for me and him. And it usually stops there. It is a vertical thing. God, I'm so thankful that you died for my sins and my sins alone. And now I have access to you directly because of your son, Jesus. And that is amazing. That is a gift. But guess what? We also now have access to each other. At the end of this, at the end of our time, my hope is that you leave our time feeling encouraged and hopeful because you have options. You have options. You may be struggling in your relationships with your father or mother, and maybe estranged, and you haven't spoken to them for a long time. They have done something maybe you feel like that was unforgivable. Or your friend, or your homie, or your coworker. And you just cannot reconcile. You just can't forgive them. You even have no interest in bringing harmony. And maybe like myself, you feel like you have no option, and the only option that you have is to be angry, is to be frustrated, to cut them off. Relationships are important. It shows people who God is. Our ability to navigate a relationship shows people who God is. They will know me by the way that you love. They will know me by the way that you love. We even often hear it from adults and parents. Lines in movies, this phrase, you have left me no choice. Also, and are you saying that they took the choice from you? But we all have choices and we all have options. And we can reconcile with each other. That is my hope, that if that's even remotely possible for you and someone else, that this message motivates you, that it encourages you, that it inspires you, that it pierces your heart and convicts you to seek harmony and unity with someone, with that person that hurt you, with that person that have maybe damaged you. And I believe that Jesus thought it was very important. And it is hard work. It is hard work, and you need the patience of God. You need the strength from God, and you need the power of God. In fact, Ephesians 2, that's where we will park it for a moment. Ephesians 2 says that we actually do have options, that you have options. And it says this at verse 14, Ephesians 2 and 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Here's the deal. Paul wrote this, and Paul started a church called Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, Ephesians. And what is so beautiful about this church, you can look at this church as a multi-ethnic church, much more so like our churches. And the two people groups, Jews, non-Jews, Gentiles, they had a really, really, really hard time getting along. Come from different backgrounds, different cultural differences, and they just had a really, really, really hard time of getting along. They had major differences, which brought major disagreements. And I love this verse. I really do. Because Jesus made it very much so apparent that we need to reconcile. One of the things that I love about this church is because it was kind of planted, and it was still had a pure form of, and it gave us an example of what the church should be. And what the church should be, there are all different kinds of people that you are asked to be in a community with that are different from you, and those differences may bring disagreements. Well, with people, our differences bring disagreements, but we should look for reconciliation. Why, though? Why should we look for reconciliation? I want to look at verse 15 for a moment. It says, "By setting aside in his flesh the law and its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself a new humanity." A new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Jesus wanted unity. And that unity provides a new humanity. And that is us living in peace, that brings peace. to us. It is a miracle, actually, that that there could be peace. I mean, think about that relationship that you possibly need to reconcile. Do you see peace? But let me tell you, what if a new humanity is made that like brings peace? How would the world look at us? And where could we take that peace? We could take it to the ends of the earth. Furthermore, you can gift peace to that person that you need to reconcile with. You have no idea what they carry. And you can bring peace to yourself. We should take reconciliation seriously. Why? Why? Because Jesus died for it. Literally, Jesus died for it. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death hostility. Listen, Jesus not only died for your relationship with his Father, he died for your relationship with each other. The same power that he rose with, that he gives to us. It's the same power that is used to reconcile with each other. The same miracle that it took to raise him from the dead, it's the same miracles that we can have for our relationships. And so reconcile. Fight for unity. And search for harmony. Now, here is the question. Is how do I know who I need to reconcile with? And some of you may be in situations where it's too dangerous to reconcile with the person. Well, this is what I'll say. Ask God. God cares about your relationship with each other. As his Father, God, as your Father, as my Father, God cares about your relationship with each other. In fact, Matthew 5, verse 23 says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. If you are going to worship, if you are going to church, if you are going to serve, and you happen to remember that someone has something against you, it says this, leave your gift there before the altar and first go to be reconciled with your brother or sister. Then come and offer your gift. That is how serious God takes reconciliation with each other. It's almost, hey, don't come just to me yet until that's solved. Here, if you can remember, that's why I say, hey, ask God. He cares so much. He will bring that person to your heart and mind. He will bring that person to your heart and mind. And I love this word, remember. Like, on your way, remember, if you remember, and God can help you remember. And furthermore, ask God, what are the steps I need to take? He may not even ask you just to do it right away. That just may be an invite for him to come and do work on your heart. so that you can live in unity and harmony with each other. What was funny is after I yelled at Roman and Roman told me that I had options, I then took a moment and asked them, hey, Roman, what would you say my options are? Roman, I mean, I'm sorry I yelled at you. Sorry, man. But what would you say my options are? And then Roman says, you know, 8-year-old. Roman says, you could just keep telling me over and over and over again until I hear it, until I do it. And guess what? I didn't like that option. I didn't like it. I said, I got an option for you. But I paused. Because we need to try to preserve relationships. We sometimes jump too quickly at cutting them off. But how are you going to be a light to them? The truth is that I did not like Roman's option. But I could have been more patient, and I could have been more grace-filled, and I could have been more kind, and could have practiced more self-control in that moment to keep harmony and unity. His option was annoying, and maybe the option of reconciling is annoying to you. And if it is, I would say that is a sign that you probably should start on that journey. How many times should we forgive them, Jesus? 70 times 7. My hope is that I am inspiring you to consider reconciling with that person that you frequently think about and that you wish that you would have had a relationship to it, because maybe that is the way that they get to meet Jesus. It's through you and through this step. You have options. And my hope is that you use them. Let's pray. God, thank you for working on our hearts. Reconciling with someone is not easy. It's actually very hard. It's very taxing. It's long work. But you have asked us to bear with one another, doing everything we can to preserve unity. So help us to do that. If someone is listening to this message and they are reminded of someone and that you have dropped somebody in their heart and on their mind, that they would then ask you, what should I do with this? What are my next steps? Unity matters to you. Reconciling matters to you. It shows people that you are real, and that you are kind, and that you are good. And I ask that you push all of us towards that and towards you, towards reconciling. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.